let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. High praise for the part thriller, part historical and religious mystery, The Indian Cross, a novel by Lawrence Clayton, described as almost Baldacci in style, characters well-developed, well-rounded, a story well-told and entertaining. The mystery of a discovery, a cross-shaped artifact in the high Andes, and how it may have represented an early presence of Christian evangelists and missionaries in the New World before the Christopher Columbus voyage of 1492. Lawrence Clayton is a historian, published more than a dozen books with major academic and commercial presses like the University of California Press and Harcourt Brace, has taught about and traveled through much of Latin America over his career, beginning with life as a boy in Lima, Peru, the son of American dad and a Chilean mother. He's the former chairman of the Department of History at the University of Alabama, also directed the Latin American Studies program at the university. And Lawrence Clayton, author of The Indian Cross, a novel, joins us on This Week in America. Lawrence, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you, Rick. I'd like to meet that guy. He's done a lot of things.
Pretty impressive
to have just described.
Have the book compared to Baldacci is the way to go. Yeah. And boy, the book is getting such excellent reviews. Really excited about talking about it. The perspective on history and religion, and you've got the thriller aspect, the mystery aspect to the book as well. What was the inspiration for writing the book and telling this story?
You know, I started this thing, this project, I don't want to date myself too badly, but probably about 25 or 30 years ago, when I was doing some research on a Dominican priest who lived in the 16th century. His name was Bartholomew de las Casas, and he was the great defender of American Indians in the face of the Spanish conquest. And I ended up writing a biography of him for Cambridge. But it kind of was the same time in my life when I was kind of really discovering my Christian faith, as I was writing about the conquest and as I was writing about Christian warriors who were just running over the New World. And in the face of this, there were a few, like Las Casas, who said, you know, you guys got it all wrong. In fact, you're going straight to hell for destroying the Indian populations the way you are, and not teaching them the true faith. And I, like so many young scholars studying in the 16th century, were fascinated with Las Casas. And it got me thinking about, did Christianity come to this new world before the Christians arrived? Because one of the questions that they asked themselves, the Spanish and to a lesser extent the Portuguese and later on the English, kind of Johnny-come-lately English and the French, was, you know, the Great Commission in the Bible, Matthew 26 or 28, is go and spread the word across the world. And many thought that had been done. And this kind of seed was planted in my mind that were there pre-Columbian voyages that actually brought Christianity over and planted it, and then it expired before the Spanish arrived, and it was rediscovered by this historian, Matthew Western, who's kind of the protagonist, who discovers a cross-shaped icon in his research while he's working in the Andes, and that's the germ of the story, in other words. And I had taught a course for the honors program here at the University of Alabama. Bright kids, you know, they all think they deserve A's from the start and get-go. And I said, no, in my class, you start out with C's. Well, they kind of looked at me and almost all about abandoned. But anyhow, we did a study of the pre-Hispanic discoveries or voyages to the Americas from both the Orient, Japan, and that part of the world, and Europe. And there are a number of them, and that's another whole story. That Columbus wasn't the first one, but what made his voyage distinct and different was after his first voyage, he came back. In other words, it wasn't simply some Irish priest lost on the high oceans in the 8th century who got over to the New World, or Japanese sailors who somehow or another floated across the Pacific, all of which could have happened. But Columbus came back, and then with him came the Spanish, and then began really the beginnings of Western civilization as we know. And so I thought, maybe I need to write about this. And I started thinking about it, and I said, but it really only could have happened. So how am I going to write it if I'm a historian who's stuck with facts?
Yes,
that's what historians are. I can remember once an anthropologist describing to me a piece of pottery that he had found, he said, this is 800 years ago, old, and it was made by a 27-year-old man who had three children. And I'm going, what? How do you tell that from a piece of pottery? He says, oh, Clayton, you historians, you're all so dull. You're married to the documents. You got to use your imagination when you recreate the past and there's nothing written. So I agreed with him. I guess we are kind of dull, I think, but I'm not that dull. And that's how I came up with a story that this could have happened. You could have found an artifact, but what did the artifact mean? Because, just because there's an artifact in the shape of a cross,
yes,
that doesn't necessarily mean it's a Christian cross. But the Spanish looked at it in the way I developed the story and said, well, you know what? There are some aspects of the Christian faith that are still embedded in Indian culture here in various fashions. And they took the cross and they sent it back to Spain, and then it was lost in a shipwreck. And that's the way the story gets going. A young historian finds the account written of this cross that was discovered by Dominican priest up in Cusco, and they sent it back to the crown, but it was lost on a voyage in a shipwreck, and that's the way the novel opens. And he gets interested in it because he's been working in the area and in the archives of Spain and the New World, and he tries to decipher what this cross meant. And then he gets involved in kind of an ongoing search for it, which gets exciting. This is a book, and there's all sorts of people who are involved, some who are despicable and mean and some who are noble and virtuous. And then the story moves along there on how this cross eventually either got back to Spain or what it meant for the Christian world. And it has a larger message, it has a
yes,
Christian message as well, but that's not really the heart of the story. The heart of the story is the mystery of discovering it and then trying to decipher exactly what it meant, and then losing it in a shipwreck, and then it moves on from there.
I think you have our attention. This is easy to understand why the book is doing so well. Part thriller, part historical and religious mystery, The Andean Cross, a novel by Lawrence Clayton, our guest on the program. You'll find the book at Amazon, the usual places. Lawrence's website is lanthonyclayton.com. He's got a blog site as well, and I'll give you that before the end of the program, and you'll find it on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, as well. Let's go back. Before Columbus, were there other pre-Hispanic Christian evangelizations in the New World, do you think?
Probably not, but there was an Irish monk in the 8th century named Brendan, St. Brendan, who was Christian. The Irish by the 8th century had been converted by actually an English friar, but St. Brendan allegedly floated across the Atlantic on a boat made that the Irish made for, sailing around the islands.
Yes.
And he actually came upon parts of New England and Canada and maybe Iceland, and then he got back, okay, somehow or another. Now, St. Brendan's voyage is part legend and part history. Nobody's ever denied that he could have made the voyage, and nobody's ever confirmed that he made the— nobody's ever going to do that, Rick. I mean, this happened in the 8th century.
Yes.
And he described things that historians and anthropologists and students of the past going, that's remarkably what maybe that part of the world looked like when he came over here. He described ice flows, as monsters and huge sea monsters that really were whales, And it's a fantastic story, but of course the Irish have a very great, imagination, and so there was that. And then there were other voyages, maybe by people who had been Christianized from Africa and come over and return back to Europe. And then Kon-Tiki occurred. Kon-Tiki was a raft that had been built by a Norwegian veteran of the Second World War, Thor Heyerdahl, and he speculated that parts that people in Polynesia in the Southwest Pacific had actually floated across and settled portions of the Pacific coast of South America, Peru and Ecuador. So he set out to prove it, and he built a raft called Kon-Tiki, and he wrote a book called Kon-Tiki back in 1947-48, in which he actually makes the voyage, and he builds a raft in Ecuador, and he goes back across the Pacific and then comes back the other way. And so there are pre-Columbian voyages, some of which, and then he does, well, I'm going to stop here because there's a bunch of voyages. He actually makes a raft, the Ra-2, R-A-2-2, which is named after an Egyptian god. And he speculates that Egyptians, converted perhaps to Christianity, had floated across the Atlantic and made it all the way to the Caribbean. And his first Ra, the Ra-1, sank about 100 miles short of the West Indian Islands. And then he built another one, the Ra-2. And did he prove that there were voyages? He goes, no. Well, people go, no, he didn't actually prove it. But he says, look at the pyramids. So, yeah, everybody knows the pyramids in Egypt, right? We have pictures of the images of the pyramids in our mind.
Yes.
And then he says, look at the pyramids in Mesoamerica, which is the kind of the fancy academic term for what's called Middle America, not Kansas and Nebraska, but, you know, the Yucatan Peninsula and southern Mexico and Guatemala. And the pyramids are remarkably the same, you know. And the cynics say, well, all pyramids look the same, you know. They have four sides and they go up to it. And he says, no, you're missing the point. Some of those may have been built by some of these voyagers who came over from Egypt, and they had embedded in their memory certain things about religion and how gods are worshipped and so forth and so on. So there's all that. But the one who made it stick was not simply Columbus, but was Columbus and the people that followed him, you know, and who brought not only a desire for the European desire for wealth and fame and gold and pearls and they made a mess of the Indian culture of the New World, but they also had a Christian dimension that said, you know, you're going to have to do this right because what you're doing is wrong. And they ended massive amounts of human sacrifices that occurred in the capital of the Aztecs called Tenochtitlan, which becomes Mexico City. They would capture people by the hundreds and thousands and bring them in there and drag them up to the tops of the pyramids and cut out their hearts, you know, as sacrifices to the Aztec gods. And so when people go, well, the Europeans just came and they just screwed it up for the indigenous people. No, they brought some, they stopped the human sacrifice. They stopped cannibalism where they saw it, you know? And so every historical period that is so important in the history of the world is very complex. And
yes.
I was curious and trying to give it a little bit of something that people could identify with, an icon, a cross, a hero. He falls in love with an anthropologist, a beautiful girl, of course, and make it in some sort of fashion in a way you could relate to, you know, rather than talk about the great issues of the world, get down to the detail. And that's what makes a good book and a good story, by the way,
and
good anything that's written.
That's what you've done. The characters are well-developed. The story is exceptionally well-told. It's told in an entertaining way. The book is The Andean Cross, a novel by Lawrence Clayton, our guest on the program. Boy, the time is going by so quickly. Such a fascinating book and the discussion that we're having here. I want to get back to Christopher Columbus here. There's this effort to tear down Christopher Columbus statues around the country. What are your thoughts on that? Why pull them down?
You got another hour or two?
I was going to say, yeah, in 2 days or less. Yes.
Let's summarize it. Columbus represented the growing presence of the West, especially the Portuguese and the Spanish, in the New World, which was basically isolated from the West, and Columbus and his successors brought in what they brought in the desire to to enrich themselves. He also was a very good Christian, actually. The desire to spread the faith, to evangelize, and he and Queen Isabel were mired in that. But they also brought in diseases, Rick. They brought in diseases that the indigenous people, and there's all sorts of ways in which we refer to Indians today, Indo-Americans, indigenous, you know, all sorts of kind of new terms. They didn't have resistance to it. And along with the conquistadors, with their swords and their horses, came diseases, and they devastated the population of the islands in the Caribbean. And then when that conquest moved into the mainlands of Mexico and then spread south into Peru, they took with them not simply certain positive elements of the Christian culture that was part of the Iberian world, but they brought with them greed, cupidity, diseases. And so many people were at the island of, for example, Hispaniola, which is where the Dominican Republic and Haiti had about a population of about 1 million people at the time of the contact. This is the term used to describe the arrival of the Europeans. And by 1550, there were no indigenous people. They were called the Taínos, left on the island. Now, there were descendants of unions between Hispanics and Indian women, and so there's still some Taíno blood in the Dominican Republic today in Haiti. But the population was devastated, and so Columbus is held responsible by many kind of simple thinking people to all of this that happened in the wake of his voyage. He's the one that led to the destruction of the American Indians. He's the one that contributed to the disastrous imposition of European imperialism and control and power. And so, boom, we're going to blame him. And so knock down the statue to Columbus. That would be like knocking down a statue to George Washington, you know.
Yes.
He presided over the making of this country, which was just simply built on racism. And you go, well, wait a second, you know, but it's more complex than that. And so Italian Americans are outraged with justification. Why blame Columbus for everything like this? And he was a complex figure. So that's the reason he is held to account for a whole series of events that followed in the train of his first voyage.
A couple minutes left in the program. Lawrence Clayton, our guest on the show, talking about his book, The Andean Cross, a novel book available at Amazon, at Lawrence's website, and I'll give you that in a couple minutes before we wrap up the program. Let's talk about why you feel this book is so important. It's a compelling story, but there's a lot there as you're reading through this, and it opens up our inquisitive minds, and we're doing a lot of thinking as to what actually might have happened. What do you hope the takeaway is as people read the book, The Andean Cross?
Well, I hope they come away like you and I do from a good book, you know.
Yes, yes.
That leaves a nice residue, you know. I mean, residue doesn't sound very good. It leaves a life, you remember, you know. It's like,
yes,
reading one of, I don't know, Hemingway's books or Steinbeck or modern authors, you know, or something like, you know, something that leaves a message in there. And I think, and what I would like them to come away is not simply having enjoyed a good book. Thank you. Pass it on to your relatives and to your friends and to your children, if you want, your grown children. But it also opens up a world. I'd like us to think of our world in larger terms than just us, kind of atoms going through it, you know, and although we are, but that we belong to a much larger thread of life that goes all the way back to however far you want to go back in history. We are part of a long thread, a long culture, and I think as a Christian that the Christian dimension is immensely important in informing us on how to behave and how to live. And so maybe this book will kind of provoke you to deepen your faith a little bit more, to enjoy the stories that have marked it. You know, if you want to read about people like St. Thomas and all the saints, it's fascinating because it opens up to you a world that I think, and many Christians think, is the most important part of our life, the Bible.
Yes.
Okay, now I don't want to get preachy here because I'm not a preacher, I'm a historian, but come away from having read it with hey, that's pretty interesting. That got me thinking about it. Maybe I'd like to read a little bit more about it. And that's what I think a good book does.
I'm going to take another 30 or 40 seconds here. I mentioned the background, former chairman of the Department of History at the University of Alabama. Why is knowing history important? And I wish I would have had this interest in history when I was taking history back in school, because now I'm fascinated by it. It really is our foundation, isn't it?
Let me put it for you really simply, Rick, in a way that I can understand it. If you lose your history, it's like losing your memory.
Okay, and, very well said. Well said.
If you lose your memory, you don't know how to behave. You don't know what's come in the past. You don't know what you've done. You don't realize the circumstances that have governed your life, and you're lost. You know, and in the technical terms of dementia and all of this stuff. But and history is our link. Now, history, we're not going to repeat history necessarily, although some people say, if you don't know history, you're going to repeat it. That's not necessarily true. But if you don't know history, you're likely to miss something that is so key and essential in the making of you as an individual and your culture and your country.
So well said,
when you,
yes.
You erase it and push it down and pull it down or whatever, you're really damaging your own background in your life.
And you present history in I don't necessarily want to say entertaining way, but it is entertaining, and we'll learn something at the same time. In the Andean Cross, a novel. What are you working on now? You're such a talented writer. I hope you're working on another novel.
I am.
Okay.
I don't know if I dare talk about it, but all right. Simple is that the Apostle Paul made 3 missionary trips. We know that from the Bible, but he was intent on making a 4th missionary trip, and that was to Spain. And he talks about it in the Bible. I'm going to go to Spain, when I go to Rome, and I'm writing a novel about his 4th missionary trip to Spain.
Fascinating.
And also, and the discovery of some letters that he wrote to his new converts in Spain, and then those letters get. They get involved in modern politics, and I've got Israel in there, and Lebanon, and the Arab nationalists, and I'm not quite sure it's all going to work out yet. But again, it's a tying of the past into the present. I'm having fun doing research for it.
I'm excited about having the chance to read that. That's still in the developing stage. But Lawrence's book, The Andean Cross, a novel, is available. And once again, you'll find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. His website is lanthonyclayton.com. His blog site is laclayton.com. I've got all of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, so you can get information on Lawrence and the book and all of that there. Lawrence, a pleasure having you on the program. We will stay in touch. Love to do a follow-up program and talking about the new book. Thank you for being with us on the program today.
Oh, Rick, it was a pleasure. Thank you. I'm always always interested in sharing things with friends, and after having taught for 40 years, I consider a lot of friends students.
Well, we are like a student. We're absorbing the information you're giving us, and it's been such a pleasure to have you with us. Lawrence Clayton, the book is The Andean Cross, a novel. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.